Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Zoom worship for Grace UCC in Lancaster. We're glad you're with us, either live here on Zoom or on Facebook later. I did want to introduce, before we do the prelude here, I did want to introduce our guest preacher this morning is the Reverend Heather Giffen, who has been a dear friend of mine for quite a while and was with her through her ordination, her path through ordination. She went off to Lancaster, Pennsylvania for a few years, but she's back in Central Ohio, and we're very happy that she's able to join us this morning. So, without further ado, let's begin with our prelude.
Thank you. Again, good morning to all. I have lighted the candles here in the sanctuary. If you have a candle at home, light as we prepare for our worship. If you could join me in the call to worship. God calls us to dream the impossible,
to witness the unimaginable.
God works in mysterious ways.
Dwell on all his wondrous works.
Give praise to God's holy name.
Let the hearts rejoice of all those seeking the Lord.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. And 12 through 28. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe and the long robe with sleeves that he wore. And they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum and balm and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. And when some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt.
Our gospel comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And the early morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind had ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Here ends our reading. And before I begin here, I would like to make an addendum make a change to my the title of my sermon here. I would like to change it to from impossible dreams to impossible dreams, impossible answers. I first want to say thank you very much for the opportunity to lead worship with you today. I am currently a member at First Congregational Church, UCC, in Columbus. And right now, in a time of discernment for my next call into ministry. As I'm sure many of us have been talking about and preaching about, the year 2020 has been quite a year. It's become synonymous with everything that could go wrong, goes wrong. I often hear on social media common situations, from searching multiple stores to find hydrogen peroxide to deal with your dog being skunked, to finding an open public place to charge your phone when the power is down from a tropical storm. This is our world now. The thought of even sending our children back to school feels impossible. In their own way, each of these biblical stories dwell in the impossible. We hear the unlikely origin story of King Joseph with a coat of many colors. In our gospel lesson, Jesus walks on water towards his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. Joseph is the anti-hero of this story. And what we don't hear is in verses 5 through 11 that were skipped for the sake of brevity, that Joseph, in the midst of this, is bragging about these dreams that he's having, about the sun, the moon, 11 and 11 stars bowing to him, about bundles of grain bowing down to him, when he's sharing these dreams with his family, he is pretty arrogant. He's pretty full of himself. And he flaunts these special dreams to his brothers. Their father, however, takes notice and gives him, the youngest brother, something that is akin to bestowing a special favor or giving them a special status of a robe. In accordance to Near East values, it was always the oldest son that received the most favor and the greatest gifts. And also, the other value that has been threatened as a result by all of this is the brothers, who feel threatened by this special status and violate another ancient Near East value of putting profit over the bond of brotherhood. These dreams of the younger brother led to an impossible situation for him. His own brothers attempt to take his life until the opportunity to sell him into slavery comes. From a result of the ending of this passage, we're to still believe that as a slave, Joseph eventually becomes king? Impossible. As people of faith, though, I think we often dwell in the realm of impossible. Sunday after Sunday, we hear stories of amazing feat. Last week, we heard the story of thousands of people being fed with just a few loaves and fishes. We hear of stories turning red, the world flooding, and people being healed by a single touch. But the reality in dwelling in this realm of impossibility is that it can be really terrifying and overwhelming. We cannot always see our way forward, even just to take a few steps. The winds are against us, and we are in the middle of our own storm, of a pandemic and an economic freefall. It can be and feel impossible to see where Jesus is leading us. Then we hear this story of Jesus walking on water in the midst of a literal storm. It is so out of the ordinary that the disciples think they see a ghost. But Jesus comes toward them and says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Often Peter and his disciples are criticized for their doubt. But being in the middle of a global crisis, I can see how hard it is to see and trust the people that are right in front of us, that they are there to help. As many of us have learned, help can come in strange ways we never thought would happen. But that's also what this year has been about. It's been a year of, I never thought that would happen. Like, I would never thought I would be preaching online. I never thought there would be a swift movement on such a large scale that worked towards racial justice. I never thought the country would be basically shut down for 2 to 3 months. I never thought that I would be washing my groceries before putting them away, or being afraid to walk in crowds or look forward to the small things, like going outside for a walk. I never thought. And I bet the disciples were also saying in that storm, I never thought I would see Jesus walking on water. Or Peter saying, I never thought I would be walking on water towards Jesus. But Jesus was there. Just as people have started to be there for one another. Reaching out and caring for one another. It has allowed us to look beyond the crisis of the storm, of this pandemic and this new world that we are living in. Joseph was seeing that God had called him to do something greater than his dreams. As people of faith in this realm of impossibility, we are asked to think beyond our own situation and see the possibilities that God is showing us. What are the opportunities that have come out of this situation for you? Being outside of the church building, all of us as people of faith, we have the opportunity to be the church, to be more present with our neighbor in wearing a mask and watching our distance from others so as not to harm them unknowingly. We have the opportunity to value loved ones by being creative and celebrating milestones. I have reconnected with my former home congregation when I was in seminary at United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities. My church, All Nations Indian Church, UCC, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. All Nations is the only UCC congregation that serves an urban Native American community. The neighborhood is home to members of the Dakota, Ojibwe, Chippewa, and Ho-Chunk nations. The church is less than a mile away from where George Floyd was killed. We were already having Zoom church and meeting regularly on Sundays and having a prayer and check-in gathering on Wednesdays to pray for one another, since so many of the members there are working on the front lines in hospitals and clinics. The Wednesday check-in has been needed. But the death of George Floyd changed so much of what this church has done. In the neighborhood, and I don't think this was very well reported, but during the time of unrest, really, all of the grocery stores were burnt to the ground, and access and working public transportation ceased to exist. That led to this church being the church. Members became street medics to support those who were protesting and trying to put the neighborhood back together. At night, when outsiders were looting and destroying property, a member organized a neighborhood watch to walk the neighborhood to deter future damage. The local coffee shop and art gallery became a food pantry because the local supermarkets were burned down. But then the church ended up becoming a overflow food shelf because there wasn't enough room in the art gallery and the coffee shop. There were so many donations coming and they didn't know where to put it all. Before going out at night, the church members prayed over the neighborhood watch to help keep them safe. I still, as I share all of this, am in awe of how the church can mobilize and be the help that is unexpected. It can reach out to those who are in need. I am sure while this was in many ways a unique situation because of the location of where this church is and that particular situation of the murder of George Floyd and the events taking place there, I bet this church and many churches are finding opportunities to be the church in the community, to reach out, to even pray for the community, pray for those who are in need, because there are so many of us. Well, we cannot maybe see the steps that we have to make forward. Somehow we do them. Somehow, as people of faith, we find our footing, even if we're not trying to walk on water. But this storm of ours gives us a chance to find a faith that is bigger than all of us, to deal with the impossible. With that, I leave you with the words of Jesus. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Amen.
And now we'll sing the hymn, Dear God, Embracing Humankind.
I ask us now to be in a spirit of prayer. God of the impossible, capture our hearts. May your Holy Spirit prepare a way for your people to bring good news to all who are wearied by too much bad news. Holy God, your Son walked on water even as your Spirit moved over the face of the waters of creation. May we learn to respect the beauty and mystery, the power and goodness of all that you have made. Strong God, give us wisdom, like your servant Joseph, that this congregation may be a symbol of hope and integrity to the leaders. You bid your people to not be afraid, and so make your deeds known among the people, especially those in trouble, sickness, and in pain. God of our ancestors, by your strength, you rescue life even from the depths of the pit. God, we ask you specifically in our world of pandemic that you be with those who are suffering and those who worry. Especially be with the people of Beirut, Lebanon, that they are recovering from this explosion, that they may find their footing. God, be with our nation as we find our way forward. Be with those who are beginning to send their children to school, but especially be with Jack's granddaughters who have started school. Be with them in their excitement, but also be with them and give them your wisdom in staying safe and giving your focus and your protection over them as they begin this new part of their life. God, we ask you to be with Pastor Keith and his family as he is away. Be with him as he enjoys his new family, and be with him as he prepares to join or rejoin his new church family. Be with this community of faith, grace. Be with your people, O God, as they find their steps forward. God, we know you are with us, but we ask you again for your words that tell us, be not afraid. And so, God, we also remember the words that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we come to the part of the service where we would take up the offering if we were together, but we're not together in person. But just a reminder that the work of the church doesn't end just because we're not meeting in person. We still have expenses, we still have a pastor's salary to pay, and we still have work to do in the world. So We appreciate those of you who have been sending in your pledges and your checks, and please continue to do so. We understand that there are still those who are having difficulty because businesses are still not at 100%. They're still not back to normal. So we understand that. And if that's your situation, you're in our prayers. But if you can send in check to the church or drop by the office or give online using the link that I've pasted into the chat, we appreciate it. So now let's join in as Pastor Heather leads us in the prayer of dedication.
Giving God, we dedicate our lives and all that we have to the work of life, of love, of peace. Receive our gifts and lead us in wisdom and encourage. Amen.
And now let's join in our closing hymn, Oh for a World.
Go out from this digital place knowing that God is with you, that Jesus said in the midst of the storm, "Be not afraid, for I am with you." Hold these sacred words close to your heart in all that you do. Amen.
Sorry, let me try that again. And a reminder just to stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask during this time. And thanks to Perry for, again, providing all this beautiful music. With that, we'll shut the recording down and unmute folks who want to visit a little bit before we shut down for the day.